Greetings, fellow Christian Americans, from the Tape Ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ Christian, Lancaster, California. As summer nears, it seems that the terrible storms of winter are finally at an end. But even as the storms subside, earthquakes in California and the eruption of Mount Etna in Sicily warn us that the earth is still in the hands of our Heavenly Father, and that a few minutes of storm or hail or earthquake, extreme cold and extreme heat, can quickly alter the affairs of men. God is not mocked. His divine timetable goes relentlessly on, just as the ages before Christ and after Christ changed at the first coming of Christ. So the time has been set for ages for His next appearance. If only God's people could see their heavenly ordained privilege to occupy the earth, using God's divine laws for property, health, and plenty, and the simple laws that Christ laid down for the benefit of us all. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Today, selfishness and greed permeate every fiber of our lives, personal, national, and international. We live in fear instead of love. Dr. Swift's message on this tape regarding God's prophecy against the Prince of Magog is indeed as timely today, or even more so, than when he gave it in 1960. As we ever draw nearer to the return of our Lord as King of Kings, we can expect the increased activity of the satanic forces that dwell in our midst. Again, we wish to draw attention to the selfless work of Lorraine Swift as she sends out the cassette each month. The return gifts barely cover the cost and is indeed a gift of love for the Word of God. Please remember her in your prayers and gifts. The opening prayer today is being given by Pastor Connie Lynch, a friend of Dr. Swift's at the time the message was given. And now Dr. Wesley A. Swift speaks upon the subject, God's Prophecy Against the Prince of Magog.
Good evening, friends. I'm going to ask Reverend Connie Lynch if he'll open our meeting tonight with prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, again, as we come into your presence with grateful hearts, we are thankful for this great day, for the revelation of thy divine truth, knowing and understanding that it is by thy word and by thy spirit and power that we shall triumph and come forth victoriously in this great end-time struggle. Lift your children out and up above every mental depression into the very glory of thy power. Help them to understand and to know this is the day and the hour of the battle in which God's children shall rise above every cloud of doubt and despair and rise and come forth and go forth to victory. Now bless our dear brother Swift this evening as he speaks. Let thy divine spirit guide his thoughts and his words, then open our hearts, open up our minds that we may receive, knowing and understanding that it is the entrance of thy word that does give life. And we'll give to you the praise, the glory, all the honor. All the people said, amen and amen. Thank you, God.
Tonight, as we turn to our subject, discussing what God hath said to the prince of the land of Russia, I think it's of great significance that each one of us recognize that we who are the children of the Most High, we are the people today who God calls the sheep of His pasture. And when He made the statements concerning the sheep of His pasture, He makes it clear who these sheep of His pasture are. We turn over to these words of the Most High in the book of Ezekiel. And He said, thus shall they know that I am Yahweh their God, that I am with them, and they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. Ye are my flock, the flock of my pasture, and you are men, and I am your God, saith Yahweh. We turn over to the book of John. Jesus said, I've not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He turned to the Jews on Solomon's porch and said, ye believe not because you're not my sheep, as I said unto you. But he identifies all those who are of your race, those that make up Christendom today, those who have carried his name as the sheep of his pasture. You say with ancient Israel, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And you are clearly aware that when he talks to his Israel, to the sheep of his pasture, he says, "They are men, they are my people, I am their God." It's more important that you know who you are today, if you were to understand this book and the things that are transpiring, than almost any other knowledge that you might possess. We might evaluate the things that men need to know. They need to know who they are. They need to know where they came from. They need to know God's plan for them into the ages of tomorrow. And they need to know their power and their present abilities. And this is all relating to what God's promised and said he was going to do. There's one thing you can be sure of, and that's every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You can't be sure about every translation. You can't be sure the way men have interpreted after they passed down through three or four generations of time and translation, always what they have interpreted, but you can be sure of every word out of the mouth of God. And as such, therefore, you can know where you are and who you are in this time. This nation of the United States of America, with its outstretched wings of the eagle, is the most powerful nation of God's kingdom today. And the kingdom of God is real, and the kingdom of God is as tangible as the nations of earth, and you are a part of God's great purpose and plan. As such, when you look out over the nations of the world, you become aware also that as a great nation of God's kingdom, that other nations of Christendom and of your race, all of which are Christian, every white nation on the face of the earth is Christian, that there is something that we must understand concerning our relationship with the nations. We have cited to you that foreign policy is a Christian's business. That's why even foreign policy planks should interest you, because this is the area in which prophecy is fulfilled. This is the area in which your dealing with nations is discussed. And if you have a foreign policy and the outline of it is far different from the plan of God's purpose for you as a nation, that means you're going to have a lot of trouble, because you're still going to do what God says you're going to do if you have to drag you there to get you to do it. And those dragging processes are not always as comfortable as had we understood what it was that we were to do. God said that he doesn't compel you to go, he makes you willing to go. That's the way the song was sung. But there's ways he makes you willing. He made one man go by sending hornets after him. When he sent him somewhere, he wasn't going to go. But when the hornets followed him around, he went. God may send some hornets after you and some of your leaders before you're through, but you're going to discharge your responsibilities before God. Thus it is that we look out over the world today. And we see that if ever there was a time of trouble, it is now. If ever there was a threat of conquest of Christian nations by the enemy out of his own lips, it's now. How many times have you heard over the last 2 years, "I'm going to bury you"? How many times have they said, "If you don't do this or you don't do that, we're going to send our rockets over and we're going to annihilate you"? We've had those words come from the premier of the Soviet Russia in the last year now 14 times. We're still here. He hasn't buried us yet. When the last hammer and sickle has been burned and there's going to be so many staffs and so much of the material and so much war scrap and destroyed material, when we get through with the Russians, that you won't have to cut wood for 7 years, the scripture says. Of course, you haven't cut wood in a long time, but no telling what will happen when they get through dissolving a lot of things that are about to be dissolved. You don't have to worry about whether you're going to survive. It's only important that you understand your relationship at this hour. God Almighty looks towards you. And he said, "There are some things I want you to know. Behold, I've laid in you the foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not need to fear or make haste to flee." Well, that foundation stone was the foundation stone of God being joined unto his family, sealing as the chief cornerstone at the headstone of the building the entire structure of his kingdom with its symbolic significance, even as the pyramid is a symbol of it on your own seal, with he the chief cornerstone. He said, "I have laid in you, in the nations of my people, in the Israel, the Zion of God, a chief cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ," and it identifies you. It's a part of you, your culture, your civilization. It is your strength. But you have had several things which in late years have been an error. The enemy, which is the same ancient enemies you've had before, the great masses of the ancient Assyrian, now in the land of Magog. He marshals his forces and gathers his forces for the conquest of the earth. It's not necessary to tell you that the same evil beast which sought to destroy your civilization by gathering Genghis Khan and hurling his hordes against Europe, brought the conquest that involved ancient China and brought the conquest that involved Samarkand and ancient Persia, conquered North Africa, swept into Asia, came through the Caucasus, attacked out of the steppes of Russia. This same evil power that gathered the hordes was the power today which has mothered communism and regathered the same hordes to bring them against you. You say, who was that? That was world Jewry. For when Genghis Khan was brought against you, it was done by organized Jewry who went out to gather him, having met in Venice and had decided to conquer Christian civilization this way. And they even supplied the prime minister that helped to do this, Choi Pei Noyan, who was one of the cunning Jews that helped to organize the strength of the great Khan. In your time, from the pen of Karl Marx came the political philosophy, from the finance of the financiers of the world Jewish interest, the Kuhn Woben Company, and Fels Naphtha Soap in your own country, and a great number of other Jewish financiers, came the money that financed the Red Revolution along with that of the House of Rothschild all over Europe. And the same power was trying to take over the Russias and to hurl the masses of Asia against you for your conquest. And so you can understand that world communism was a program of Antichrist and made war against the church from the hour of its beginning. In fact, it fulfilled prophecy by creating great martyrdom, and millions of Christians have been put to death by this modern scourge in its last resurrection, as this beast of evil, whose political power had waned with the death of the Khan, now had its wound healed, which was nigh unto death. And so comes today against you as a great nation of God's kingdom. Back in 1932, a president was elected to the United States who had some of the saddest advisors any president ever had. And while a great many people had been given all the propaganda necessary to downgrade all previous presidents compared to this one, little did they realize the importance of his brain trusters, of the Morgenthaus, the Richburgs, the Frankfurters, and those that went with him. Little did they realize what was transpiring when one of the first official acts was to recognize Soviet Russia, this bloody Red Revolution, and to permit an embassy to be set up in Washington, D.C., and to send representatives from the United States to Soviet Russia. Instantly, the Soviet Union had prestige among nations. But as long as the great nation of the United States refused to recognize her, called her the outlaw and the barbarian, the nations of the world were not in any way going to recognize Russian power or force. They not only downgraded her as she should be, but she had no respect for power. And we entered in as a great nation and were soon followed by other nations inside of the Christian nation bloc, which is the kingdom of God on earth. We entered into a covenant. We recognized them, and as such we entered into a covenant, which the 18th verse of the 28th chapter of Isaiah says, this is your covenant with death, and your covenant this is your covenant with death, and it's going to be disannulled. Your agreement with hell shall not stand. We not only entered into a covenant with the Soviet Union, which was the mass murderer of Christian civilization, but we promised that we would have economic exchange, and she promised that she was not going to continue her revolution as it related to us. We don't have to review for you the past history. You watch the spread of communism, the violation of that original covenant before the ink was even dry upon the paper. The spreading of the 7-year plan, the 9-year plan for world conquest quickly followed. And then you found yourself in a war in which the great nations, the God's kingdom, were not only engaged, but you were also fighting other Christian nations when you should no longer have been engaged in struggle with Christendom, but all of Christendom should have stood together to have fought off the powers of world communism. But you'd been tricked. The same power that had created communism was now tricking Christian nations to fight one another. I'm going to tell you that there would have been no war between America and Britain and France against Germany had it not been for organized Jewry. There wouldn't have been any war anyhow if it hadn't been for organized Jewry. God Almighty refers to them as the false prophet of time. He refers to them as Mystery Babylon, who's guilty of the blood of all the righteous slain upon the face of the earth. And as such, he identifies them for what they are. Now we engaged in such a war, and in that war, here were parts of the great nations of God's kingdom, America, the great outstretched wings of the eagle, the lion, where the throne of David was located, and now we had an actual fighting alliance as an ally with the powers of the Antichrist against one of the great nations of God's kingdom, the Judah of the Scriptures. For Germany is true Judah. When you understand that, you will know why it's not only a warlike power, but you'll know why God Almighty said in the great emergency the tents of Judah are going to have to be saved first, because they're right between they Western Europe and they Eastern European lie. The fact remains that we never should have been at war with Germany, and there would have been no trouble had we not been tricked by all of the designs of the forces of darkness into this hour of great trouble for Jacob. And out of it was the inevitable patterns of war. And so we are to discover that after World War II, Soviet Russia had captured large portions of Europe and of Asia without too great a struggle. True, there had been great fight in the Ukrainian areas and out into the steppes of Russia. There had been battles in some quarters by Russian troops, but most of the victory of that war was accomplished by the armies of Western civilization as they broke the power of Central Europe, which they had had control over without realizing it before this. As far as the battle against Japan was concerned, that was won by America, not by Russia, though Russia came in at the last moment so as to have a division of portions of Asia. The result was that because we were being tricked through this covenant with death and with hell, we even turned over all of China to the Red Russians and the communist forces. It was done very subtly. It was done by surrender and acquiescence. It was done by turning areas of power over to the Soviet Union. And it was all done because in high places in your government, the deceivers were at work. And these deceivers had you enter into such agreements as the Potsdam and Yalta agreements. Yalta and Potsdam agreements were covenants with death and with hell. Now, the majority of people in this nation never support these agreements. The majority of patriots find fault with them, and every once in a while, some great leader in our army or our navy or some great official in government comes out to talk about the treason of these documents. My library is volume after volume proving the utter treasonable complicity that was involved by treachery, snare, and by the strange influences of organized Jewry and the World Soviet to get the nations of the world to surrender their power. What they didn't anticipate was the great inner strength that God had poured into his people with vision and knowledge and initiative until they came out, not a country so depleted that it couldn't survive, but we came out of World War II sitting on top of the world for power and for strength and greatness. The sun never went down on our armies. Our flags were flying from one end of the earth to the other, and we had thrown a protective wall around nations and areas to protect the earth, and that wall that we threw was around the Soviet Union because we now had evidence that she had no intention of living as nations would in a free world, and we should well have known that you can't have a free world when you deal with the Antichrist and the powers of darkness. For the last 8 years, we have watched a administration which has continued the policies not of acquiescing by surrendering territory willingly to the Russians, but by so determined to keep peace on the earth that they haven't challenged the enemy, and they've let him by threat and coercion and by the speed with which he's moved, take over large parts of the earth. Have you realized that he's taken over in Indochina, and he's taking over whole areas of Asia that he didn't have a short time ago? He's moved in on Tibet. He's moving down on all parts of Asia. He's moving into Africa. He's moving into Latin America. He's even taken Cuba, just off of the southern borders of your own nation. We've watched all of these influences of red communism, while administrations and leadership, they've said no. They said you can't do it. They ran around the world trying to make everybody agree that they should stay with us and that we were their friends. We have gone to every extent, short of war, to try to gather the world to block the advance of Antichrist. But I'm going to tell you that in all of these things, the enemy has been gaining power and territory, and he's been attacking us. He holds today over 1,000 of our men prisoner behind the Iron Curtain in all violation of law. And in this period of time, we have not had a principal man raised up to suddenly helm the nation, which God Almighty has ordained and said, this is enough. Whether you know it or not, you are closer to that hour than you have any idea. For God's going to raise up a man in this nation, and this nation is going to suddenly challenge the Soviet Union, and it's going to move out against the powers of darkness which are coming against us. And it's not going to be, my friends, a small thing. It's going to be a great struggle, because before you have your presidential election, Soviet Russia is tonight getting ready to move. She intends to seize Western Berlin first. In fact, tomorrow morning's newspapers' headlines are already out. When we announced this subject to you a week ago, we knew that this was coming. For 2 weeks ago, we told you that the information already coming through Secret Service channels is that Uberharty in East Germany was gathering great hordes of his own shock troops, and that Chinese and other Red Army manpower was being filtered into East Germany. And the Soviet troops were moved into East Germany, and they were getting ready to seize first Berlin. Last week, they have been cutting off and stopping transportation and seizing trucks and equipment. Then tomorrow morning's newspaper tells you that they're all ready to move. And that before your election that day, East Germans backed by Russian might are going to seize Berlin. And they think that there won't be enough organization, enough leadership, enough activity to do anything about it at that time. So that's just one step. They've already hurled their threat to the world on the Congo. The Reds are not only bringing more men and more equipment into the Congo, but they're charging even tomorrow before the United Nations that America and Belgium and the great nations of the white race are seeking to overthrow and to break the agreements and commitments, and that they're aggressors, and that only she, Russia, is the great protector of the Congo. Let me tell you that these are all indications of the day in which you live. It tells you that you've come not only to the time of Jacob's trouble, but the enemy's about ready to move. God Almighty says he's going to move, and you can be assured that he will. I turn over here to the 38th chapter of Ezekiel. The 38th chapter of Ezekiel is the record of what God has to say to the prince of Russia. He said, "Now you prophesy as my prophet, and you set thy face against Gog of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal." The modern translation is, "Set thy face against Gog," this is, "and the land of Magog, the chief prince of Moscow and Tobolith," for Magog is Russia. "Thus saith Yahweh God, behold, I am against thee, O chief prince of Moscow and Tobolith. I'm going to turn thee back and put the hooks in thy jaws, and then I'm going to pull thee forth with all thy army, all your mechanized infantry, all of your horsemen, all of your horses, all kinds of armor and every kind of weapon you have." He said all of them are going to come forth. And he says you're going to move into Persia and all North Africa and Libya, and you're going to gather all the warriors from these countries. And you're going into the areas that are out into the hinterland of Asia and down in the land where Gomer has wandered. I want to pause and correct something that's most fallacious. Somewhere along the line, there has been taught by some prophetic student that didn't have any idea what it was all about that Gomer was Germany. And every once in a while, some Bible Institute preacher or someone else comes out as an authority, and he says, "Gomer's Germany." You pin him down and you say, "Where'd you get that?" "Well, I got it from Ironsides." Well, years ago, Ironsides was trying to find a name for Gomer, and he blamed it on Germany, because at that time, they not only didn't know who Israel was, the average preacher doesn't, and he not only doesn't know who Israel is, but he thinks that all of the Antichrist was the old Roman Empire. And he thought Rome was going to be revised, joint with Germany, and the rest of the world was going to be defeated by the Antichrist out of Germany and out of Italy. Now, don't make any mistake about it. We are opposed to the ecclesiastical hierarchy of Rome being joined with a political state. We're opposed to that. We want you to know that organized Jewry moved into that church and set up the Babylonian hierarchy that even now dreams to control great nations with its influence. We're against it. We're opposed to it. We have nothing in common with it. But we want you to know that still the great majority of people, both in Rome and in Germany, and the people even inside of that church, believe in Christ, and they're members of your race. And nobody that has the testimony of Jesus Christ is Antichrist. If you want to find Antichrist, go out here to the synagogue. Go down here to the ghettos. If you want to find Antichrist, you go where they spit at his name and where they hate him, and you'll find it. But they didn't know that, and so they were trying to make white Christian nations of the same race, of the same destiny, of the same prophecy, said that was Gomer. This isn't Gomer at all. Gomer were Asiatic tribes that rode and struck deeply with the hordes of Assyria in Asia. And they are not Gomer, any more than the people of Tagarma are Poland. The savage tribes that were Gomorrah rode on the north flank of what was once the great Assyrian hordes. In the days when Genghis Khan rode in, the northern hordes of Assyria, and from the steppes rode in, the Tagarma tribe rode with Genghis Khan. They came into Europe. They went down into Finland, and they went down into Tagarma, and they were rolled back. The peoples of Finland are the tribe of Issachar, and the prophecies of Issachar stand for that people. I want you to know that there was some of the seed of Tagarma that was intermingled with some of the Slavic peoples, but predominantly the peoples of such lands as even Romania today and back over into Yugoslavia. I want you to know the peoples of Yugoslavia are just as white. They're a tall white race, and even though communism has ruled them and taken them over, and Tito is a communist, the majority of people inside of Yugoslavia are tall white Christians. and they are deeply in their own hearts Christian, and they're diametrically opposed to everything that's associated with communism. And they'll be liberated one of these days. They're a part of Israel, one third of which has been swallowed up prophetically by the armies of the Antichrist in your time. So under this instance, we look out over what is fast developing all over the world. The peoples that the scripture here refers to as the areas which would be taken over by Russia in this attempt first to gather her full storm of power. In fact, the Asiatics, who are referred to as Tagarma, also occupy the areas of the Yangtzes and the areas that run from there to the Himalaya Mountains. It's to be noted that Persia and Ethiopia, when it says Persia, it refers to all the areas in the Middle East. And when it talks about Ethiopia, it's talking about North Africa. People don't understand that word Ethiopia. Everybody that is from North Africa or dwelt there was identified as an Ethiopian. And that didn't always mean he was Negro. Though at the present time, when it says a leopard doesn't change his spots and an Ethiopian his skin, in that instance it was referring to the Negro. I think it's interesting that one of the silliest preachers in the world today, and you may not like this, nobody likes it when I put my finger on one like this, but Billy Graham is one of the silliest preachers in the world today. He came out last week, and it's in a major magazine, 2 weeks ago, the news magazines, and you'll find pieces in Life, and you'll find pieces in Time, and you'll find pieces in the Saturday Evening Post, and Billy Graham said, the solution of the world must be won by Christian spirit. We must be willing to integrate and intermarry, and we must be willing to do this on every level from Africa to America. And then he says, I want you to know that the first convert to Christianity was an Ethiopian eunuch. Now that Christians therefore realize that they should gather the Africans in first, and that we should follow that order today. Well, it happens that this Ethiopian eunuch was one of the stock of Israel that had been held captive and had been in control as a guardian over the harem of the king of Ethiopia, which king of Ethiopia for years and years were white men until they were absorbed by Mongolization. But I think that we might follow Billy Graham's idea if we could make eunuchs out of all the Negroes. We'll try converting them afterwards. I think that might end our Negro problem very fast. But the instance which is being suggested here in the design of the fallacy of this hour would be to surrender to the world idea and the world program of Lucifer. And so we are watching exactly what the scripture says coming to pass concerning the Russian hordes. Now Russia does have more manpower under her banners than any other part of the earth. Red China tonight has more manpower than any single nation on the face of the earth under arms. 30 million fighting men ready to march right now with a desire to march, with a want to march. And for the last 2 years, we have had an ever-increasing tempo upon the part of Red China, a part of the hordes of Magog, a part of the company which God cites calling for warfare against America. The last few weeks, and even while these conventions were going on, General Mao and Zhao Enlai were talking about the essentialness with the new man that's come in for great power of conquering America, and talked about the wonderful day of the great and tremendous excursion they were going to have when they come down upon America and start looting your homes and carrying off your women. They talked about it. I listened to it on shortwave. They beamed it into Hong Kong and Beijing. They beamed it into Singapore in English, as well as into Hong Kong. And as they talked, they said, the day is coming when the rising destiny of the world is going to be in the hands of Red China. We're going to wipe America out first as the enemy and the arch center of opposition to the progress of the world through the workers' revolution. The campfires of Genghis Khan will burn again, they said. Speaking in India a short time ago, this was what one of the leaders of Red China had to say in a great big rally they had at Madras. And that again shows you something, that while aggression can be committed against lands in India and throughout, like India and other countries of Asia, they'll let the speakers of these lands come and rile up the people. And for years and years, India voted against you, and everything in the United Nations or everywhere else was always siding with Russia. Always Russia was wonderful. And then Russia just takes a big bite out of them every once in a while, or attacks them or hits them. But you have nothing that you can count on out of the Asiatics and out of these idol-worshipping peoples, and you don't want these peoples as your allies. A lot of people think today that we should find some personal diplomacy like General Eisenhower tried to carry out and go to the ends of the world and tell all these people that the great Christian nations of God's kingdom will pour out of their supplies and tax their people to make them wealthy and strong. All we want you to do is stand with us, and then if the Russians attack, we'll come over and save you. Let me tell you something. We should sever every alliance with every idol-worshipping country on the face of the earth. We shouldn't tax one Christian to support one economic or military program in the heart of any idol-worshipping voodoo society. We shouldn't utilize one unit of our energy to save the Negroes of Africa. We shouldn't do anything, my friends, to protect countries in Asia that worship devil gods. Now, let's turn here to what God says. He said, remember, Israel, that you don't have to make alliances with nations that don't know me. He said over here in Deuteronomy that you don't have to be afraid either of any nations because they're bigger. He said, for thou art a holy people unto Yahweh thy God, and he chose you to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are on the face of the earth, and he set his love upon you, and he chose you, not because you were more in number, because you're the fewest of all people. Now, what do you mean by that? The white race is only 1/6 of the world's population, and you're the fewest of the races of the earth. But listen, God Almighty said, thou shalt not say in thy heart, these nations are mightier than I. How can I dispossess them of their power? Because God Almighty has ordained that you, his kingdom, are going to come into power, and the powers of unrighteousness and evil that want to destroy you in the earth are going to be broken, and broken by you with the power of your God. Now listen. Here in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel, God says, therefore, he says, you are going to prepare yourself and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and you're going to come out, and you're going to come against the people who are the peoples of Israel. A people which you're going to gather together are going to come against the nations of Israel, which God calls his great mountains. That means that the hordes of the Soviet Union are going to attack Germany, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Belgium, Denmark, Holland. They're going to attack Italy and Spain. They're going to attack the United States, and their major objective is to knock you out first. Even though they'll move in on Berlin first to create situations and incidents, and then from that point they'll move in many fronts. God said that they're going to use air power, and they've got it. Now don't let the Democrats frighten you. You're not about ready to fold up as a weak and unable to protect yourself second-class power. The kingdom of God's not second-class. And you're not today, my friends, without weapons, and you're not without ability. One of the great, brilliant engineers and technicians who's just returned from Europe, a man of great wisdom in rocketry and science, this man passes this message along within the last 24 hours. He said, if the Russians start in on this, it's going to move fast, but we're going to incinerate their cities as no cities have been burned to the ground before. This man just arrived from Western Germany. And he said, why, people talking about fear, surely it looks fearsome. And if anybody should have been afraid, the people right over there on the front line should have been afraid. But if they read the book of Esdras, like you should have read the book of Esdras, it says, in this hour, when this enemy comes against you and against the mountains of Israel, God said, your flying swords, the flying swords of Israel. You know what a flying sword is? It's one of these great Nikes that goes up into the sky. It's one of these great Atlas-like flying objects. And God says, your flying swords, like meteors, are going to hurl through the sky and burst like a horrible star and turn the cities of Asia, your enemies, to powder and dust. Thus saith Yahweh. Now, if you stop to realize that that was written 700 to 800 years before Christ, when men didn't know anything about flying nuclear weapons and great explosions, God Almighty said, not only will the star burn above the cities, but the cities will just turn to powder and dust. No wonder the scripture talks about the fashion of this world order, the world order out there that your enemy passing away as elements dissolve in fervent heat. For fervent heat is the process by which things dissolve in your time. I turn here to what God Almighty says. It says, therefore, they're going to ascend and come like a storm. They've got the aircraft and they've got the air power. They're going to come like a storm to try to cover the land. And when they come with their bands, it says they will mount and come like a storm in the air, ascending to come against you and drop those bands. And they'll come down floating out of the sky with paratroopers, and there'll be a white man on the ground to take care of them fast as they come down. You say, that's not what it says. It says that they're going to come against the mountains of Israel, and it shall come to pass at that time shall all these things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think all these evil thoughts. And thou wilt say, I'm going against this land where they don't wall up the villages, where they don't have army posts in between each community and town. I'm going to this great land that has all the wealth and all the prosperity, where they don't have a great military encirclement of every city, where it's easy to hit, take the spoil. Now you know about the only place in the world where that can be is right here in the Western Hemisphere, in Canada and the United States. If you were to travel through Europe, you'd pretty well sure see that they've got fortifications and walls around cities, and they've got barricades, and they've got army barracks every little way, and they need them, and every hedgerow has got machine guns and some troops within them, and you'd realize that all of Europe today is an armed camp. The only place you can go with freedom and travel from place to place, and nobody asks for your passport, nobody pays any attention to you, is here in this great nation of the outstretched wings of the eagle. And this is where there's more loot to take than anywhere on the face of the earth. Now, you will come against I'm going to come against these people that dwell with safety, all of them dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates. I'm going to come, say the Russians, to take a spoil, and I'm going to take a prey, and I'm going to carry off the women, and I'm going to destroy their homes, and I'm going to take their possessions, and I'm going to make desolate their inhabited places. And all the people that are gathered out of the nations with thee, they are the ones that march to come to do this, and you want to gather all the peoples of God's kingdom that have settled in this place out of the nations. Now you know that out of all the nations of God's Israel, they've settled right here. Somebody said America's a melting pot. It's not a melting pot for the world, but it is a great fusion of the peoples of God's kingdom Israel right here in this nation. You are the greatest, most powerful nation of God's Israel, the outstretched wings of the eagle, the mighty bulwark which God has raised up as protection for the nations of his kingdom. So they come, God said, to this to take this spoil. Therefore, now you prophesy, Ezekiel my prophet, and you say unto the prince of Russia, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people were dwelling safely, and you know this, and you come now out of the north parts with your people, with all your mighty armies and all your hordes, and you're going to come against my people Israel. You're going to come as a cloud to cover the land, and it's going to be in the last days, the latter days. That's where you're living, the end of an age. And he says, yes, I'll bring you against my land, and then all you heathen are going to know that I'm going to be sanctified in Israel. And now, O prince of Russia, before their very eyes, art thou he whom I have spoken in old times to all my servants, the prophets, and said that it would be prophesied that in those days, after many years, that you would be brought down against my people? All the prophecies of Antichrist, all the hordes of evil, are racked up in thy symbol. It should come to pass at that time that Russia and Khrushchev, as the prince of Russia, shall come against the land of Israel, and God Almighty says, and the fury is going to come up then in my face. We had disarmament conferences. They've been going on now ever since the end of World War II. And we have been sending ambassadors and representatives and special agents, and so the Soviet Union. And every time we got nowhere, they wrecked the conference. We had one going on just a few weeks ago, and when the Democrats were starting their convention, the Russians walked out and brought home all, took every other satellite nation with them and walked out, and that ended the conference on disarmament. The United States said, we've had enough too. There's not going to be any more. Now we understand that the president said, well, we're not going to shut our eyes to the opportunities of searching out for avenues of peace. We'll always go to one, but we're not going to disarm anything beforehand. You know, they had us actually talked in and conned in, and every time the Russians made a speech and they waved their threats, so we were going to show the world by leadership. And we started to cut back on our military, we cut back on our defense plans, we slowed down in our aircraft, and we even were cutting back in a whole phases of our missile program. And we reached the point where even unemployment was feelable across the nation because of what had transpired. People could sense that there was a slowing down in the economy because we had cut back on our defense, because we were searching for a way to disarm, and we didn't want to disarm and destroy everything we were now building. Well, we're stepping it all back up again, and we're going to step it up again as we have never stepped it up before, because God is calling upon his people through the prophet Joel to know that this northern army of Magog is going to attack, and he wants us to beat all the spare metal back into swords and back into spears, and not to spend as much time worrying about plows and about spades and about farm tractors and all the equipment that we have to use for farming. God Almighty says in Joel, I want you to put your metal that you're putting into farm implements now, I want you to beat it all up and pour it through and put it into weapons. First place, if you want to know how to take care of the farm surplus, that's stop making any more of it. You've already got more in than you can consume. You don't have to feed the whole world. Your design isn't to see how much food you can produce and then feed your enemies with it. If you've got too much food, just sit down and start eating on that food and start doing something else for a while. There's no problem about surpluses. If you've got good sense, you start doing something else. Let the American farmer have the American market, and he'll thrive on it and stop bringing in things from all over the world and taking that market away from it. Mystery Babylon has us economically bound to all kinds of fallacious ideas. One of those things that God's ordained is that you're going to make weapons. You're going to make lots of them. So it says you don't want to put your faith in that arm of steel. You put your faith in the eternal, in the Most High God. And you put your faith in His ability to give your fighting men that spiritual power that David showed when he held off 500 of them with two men in one pass. You ask God to give strength to your military and to your fighting soldiers and give them the immunity of immortality so that when they hold the bridge, they can turn all the enemy that comes against them, but they shall not be moved. That's what God Almighty wants you to do. Oh, you say, well, He don't want us to use the sword. Well, what a silly bunch of preachers that preach that doctrine when Christ comes back and He comes back with a sword to destroy His enemies and the blood flows to the horse's bits. And you say, don't want you to use the sword. If you follow Christ in the hours that are ahead, you'll have one. Now listen. God Almighty said, therefore, there's going to be a great shaking in the land of Israel. There's going to be a great shaking at my presence in all my nations. And this power of darkness and all the nations that are gathered against you shall be thrown. My nations. And this power of darkness and all the nations that are gathered against you shall be thrown down. There's going to be great shakings in the earth naturally under this tension as well. And I'm going to call for a sword against communists in all my mountains, saith the Lord God. And even if a man's brother is a communist, then the sword will be against his brother. You know, communism is right in this nation, trying to turn brother against brother. He's trying to do that with organized labor. He's trying to do that in your schools with your young people. He's trying to do that inside of your churches with some of the knucklehead preachers you have that are speaking and directing their teaching to the philosophies of the Kremlin. Almighty God makes it clear, therefore. This is what He said. We're going to clean all this out. I might disagree with Dick Nixon on some of the things he didn't say that he should have said, but I'm 100% with him when he said the other day, we're going to clean every communist out of the government of the United States. I can remember the thing that Senator Jenner told us one day just before he left Washington. He said, well, he may not do the things we want or say the things we want now, but he's waiting until he gets power, and he's going to be one of the most stubborn adversaries communism has, and they're knowing. You know, God raises up men, and He can change them a whole lot, too, while the process is going on. By the way, the best thing that ever happened to you is when they stoned Him down in Venezuela. Sure, some of those other places. Probably the best thing they ever had is when they spit on Him and when they treated Him as mean as they did, because they're not going to woo Him back now. Now listen. In this instance, God said, therefore, I'm going to turn upon you, and the pestilence and blood will rain upon you and thy bands, and the people that are with thee, and there's going to be overflowing rain, great catastrophes, and then the great hailstones of fire and brimstone that are going to drop on you and your armies are going to be unprecedented. Now thus saith God, prophesy against Khrushchev, saith the Lord. Prophesy, and behold, I am against thee, O chief prince of Moscow and Tobolsk. I'd rather have God say that than anything any set of diplomats are going to say about the present world situation. I'd rather have God say, look, I'm on your side, and I'm against them, and this is what I'm going to do. Because that, I know that's going to happen. I can't be sure of what lots of times men with good intentions tell me what's going to happen, but I can be sure of this, that when the hordes come against these United States, God says, I'm going to smash them, I'm going to break them, I'm going to destroy them. Now we realize that the great nations of the Western world have tried to carry their civilization to the ends of the earth. All the progress that has been made in civilization in areas like Russia has come from you. In fact, the only real progress that was ever made in India was made when the British were there. The only progress the world has known is when the white race went out and colonized the jungles of the earth. Someone says against colonization, against imperialism. When did you start to talk about that? When did there suddenly move through the ideas in the minds of your race that colonization was bad? If it was so bad, you would never have been here. If it's so bad, why do you colonize? If it was so bad, why did you keep pushing out, making state after state? If it's so bad, what did you take California from Mexico for? If it was so bad, why did you push out the heathen that was scattered around everywhere? Why did you do this? That's not bad. It's only bad now when a left-winger tells you that when you went into the undeveloped jungles of the world, when you tamed the savagery of capitalism, when you went in with force and righteousness and law, that's bad. That's because the devil doesn't want you there. I'm going to tell you what's bad. The United Nations is what's bad. The organization that ties the hands of strong men without a weapon. You know, that's one of the white horses of the apocalypse. People says it's the false peace, peace. Yes, he comes along, what does he do? He says, we're going to be strong by unity. Now everybody hold out his hands and we'll tie them all together so they can't make war with one another. Now they're only tying you with little whisks of cord. And you won't break the cord because you say, we're a nation of honor. We're not going to break this cord and send out our army. We willfully were bound. Other great Christian nations say, no, we can't send out our armies and do anything about it. We've got to get permission to take the cord off. And the Soviet Union breaks the cord and rushes around, does as she pleases, and the rest of you stay honor-bound with the cord that he wrapped around your wrists. For the United Nations was designed by the Alger Hisses, who took their orders directly from the Kremlin and got into the high places because of Felix Frankfurter and the errors of Roosevelt's appointments. I'm going to tell you right now, one of the best pieces of news I've heard is that Frankfurter is getting so old and so is black that they're going to resign and they're going to have to appoint two new men to the Supreme Court. You couldn't scour the earth and find any two men that you could put in there that'd be any worse. I'm going to tell you this. I will wager that the next two appointments won't include a Jew. And especially an Austrian-born one who spawned communism in Harvard and put the Wieses and the Alger Hisses in their positions in Washington. At this very moment, then, we turn to this picture of what God said. He said, therefore, this horde's going to come, and I prophesy that I am against you, O head of Russia. I'm going to turn thee back. I'm only going to leave 1/6 part of thee when you're done. That's all they're going back. And I'm going to destroy you when you come against the mountains of Israel, the nations of Israel. The nations are the mountains, God said. Now he said, I'm going to knock all thy weapons out of the left flank of your armies, and I'm going to destroy all of your flying weapons out of the right flank of your armies. He says, the weapons in your left hand and the arrows in your right. And if you go back to the original text, it refers to weapons in the left hand and the flying objects out of the right. Flying weapon. God said, I'm going to destroy them. He'll destroy them. Listen. Thou shalt fall against the nations of my kingdom and all thy bands and thy people. And when they destroy thee, the ravenous birds of the air and the beasts of the field will be devouring thy flesh. And I'm going to send such a fire on Russia. And among those that try to carelessly occupy my island, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. You know that it's anticipated that one of the great mass evacuations of all time will maybe one of the projects that the British government will have to do in the very near future in case of war with Russia. They plan on evacuating as many of their populace to North America and into the areas of Canada and New Zealand and Australia. And it's a possibility that some of the hordes will actually land on those islands. Not going to be long. God said, if they make it, I'm going to destroy them that dwell carelessly then in my islands. I'm going to make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I'm going to not let them pollute my holy name anymore, and the heathen are going to know that I, Yahweh, am the Holy One of Israel. They're going to know that from one end of the earth to the other. Now you say, what's going on all over the world anyhow? God Almighty's told you that trouble is not far removed. He also said, now, my people, thus hast increased the nation of the Lord, thou hast increased the nation, and God is glorified, and he's removed it far unto the ends of the earth, and great nations are my people Israel. And they put colonies down in the ends of the earth, and they put also branches down in the dark places of the earth. And you're in Africa, and you're in places like this. Now the enemy is gathering up the hordes of Africa for revolt. He's taking over Ethiopia. He moves in with his fifth column, and the Mau Maus and the witch doctors all join together. You say yes, and then this world government comes along and starts talking about freedom. Now listen to what God says. God said, remember, thy dead men are all going to live again, Israel. Every one of them are going to live, even as my dead body shall they arise. And just as the body of God arose, transformed, so shall every last one of the house of Israel be raised one of these days. He says, awake and sing, you that dwell in the earth, for the earth is going to cast out all the bodies of thy people. But I want you to know that in this hour also, that there are a lot of people that don't know what's going on, and God says, now my people, you come out from this area among these peoples of the pagans and among the dead. You come out and you enter into thy chambers and you shut thy doors and you stay there for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. You want to know what's happening as these great aircraft with the outstretched wings of the eagle are flying the Belgians home? You want to know what's happening as the white men are getting out of Kenya? You want to know what's happening right now with the Africans, communists, third, are fighting now in British Rhodesia, started 2 weeks ago, where there's been nothing but peace and no trouble there, and now the savagery are attacking. You want to know what's happening? The powers of Antichrist and evil and the spirits of demons are possessing these dark and uneducated peoples, these peoples who have no spiritual capacity and whose soul consciousness vibrates to the beast pattern. I'll tell you what's happening. They're rising up now, and it's just a little spur. You're outnumbered 1,000 to 1. And so the white man says, I'm going home. And they're going home to their own chambers, wherein they have their planted spot in the earth. God Almighty is not only going to bring you home, but you're going to find white men all over the world. They're going to go home very shortly, except for areas like South Africa that may be the holding out spot there. You're going to see the white man moving out of North Africa into Ethiopia. And after he gets out, my friends, in the midst of this holocaust that's very close to you, God's going to pour out a judgment upon these areas such as they've never known. We turn over here to what God says. He says, therefore you'll enter into your chamber for a moment until this indignation be overpassed, for behold, the Lord's going to come out of his place. And he's going to punish these inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth is going to disclose her blood. And she's not going to be able to cover the slain of the world order that have come against his kingdom. I like it that God's on our side. He's directing all this that way. It's God with us for a change, because you are the children of his kingdom, and this is his purpose. You can go back over to Ezekiel, and he says, all right, I'm not only going to make this known, but it shall come to pass, O prince of the land of Russia, the only thing we're going to let you have in Israel is a place to bury your dead. And he said, they're going to be burying your dead, and they're going to make graves for that dead, and the multitude will take 7 months to bury, and the people of the land are going to bury, and it's going to be a renowned day that they have buried the enemies that sought to destroy the kingdom. And they shall sever out even men that have had continual employment to help bury the dead, and run the bulldozers, and to cover them over, and to cleanse the lands. God Almighty then said, all the birds of the air will have feasted upon the flesh of mighty and powerful men in that day. And the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. And he said, when I have brought again from the people that have been released now from their enemies and have set them apart in my sight before the nations, then shall they know that I am Yahweh their God. And I have broken all the captivities of the heathen. I have liberated all my people everywhere. Neither will I hide my face anymore from them, for I will pour out my spirit continually upon all the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Listen, O prince of the land of Russia. God Almighty said, we're about to destroy you in the hour of your coming. It's going to come. But don't let fear have any part in your thinking. Any design that thinks that you're going to get peace by acquiescing to the enemy, by appeasement, is already marked by God to failure. In fact, I wouldn't waste 5 minutes trying to plan out a program of peace when God tells me what's about to happen. I'd just get strong. I'd tell the enemy where he has to stay. I'd tell the enemy when to get out. I'd tell the enemy, you won't shoot down any more of our planes, and you better deliver back the prisoners or we're going to blow you off the face of the earth. Someone said, oh, we shouldn't take on this aggressive attitude. Let me tell you something. There isn't anybody with more force for this situation than my father, and nobody has more grace and more love, and nobody throughout all the ages of time has as big a plan, even for these Russians that are going to be blown off the earth, than he has. But they don't belong here challenging the kingdom of God in the hour when God intends to produce the greatest demonstration of the power of his kingdom on the face of the earth. Let me tell you this. A lot of people are worried about these peoples in the ends of the earth. They're worried about their eternal souls. There is such a thing as the eternal spirit. The soul will have to be resurrected to its decision and to its judgment. But I'm going to tell you that there isn't any place that the consciousness could go that God couldn't find it. There isn't any such thing as destroying something until that's the end of it, and you and I have to sit down and weep bitter tears. The only thing that we should be weeping tears about is that we've let them do as much as they've done without having stopped them before this. God Almighty is not going to let them wipe you from the face of the earth. Don't let anyone ever tell you they are. I can tell you what had come closer to wiping you from the face of the earth. That's if you taxed all the people like Mr. Kennedy said he was going to tax them, to give the wealth and the power to Africa, and to give it to Asia, and give it to the ends of the earth. That, my friends, would help to weaken you until you did fall. Let me assure you this, that the greatest menace in your time is the doctrine which is being delivered to you, that you're supposed to integrate and absorb these mongolized masses of the world that hate your God. What Russia has done, and the United Nations has done inside of Africa, is quite evident. Of course, it is fulfilling its prophecy. But the thousands of white women that were raped time and time again, and little girls that were raped forcibly by these jungle beasts, the seizing and the burning of property, the destruction of schools and churches, the savagery of this people proves that you can't have any civilization developed in them unless you hold the rod of the law of God over them to see they stay in it. And the moment you turn them loose, they burn down their own assets. Oh, you say, well, that was the jungle cannibals. No, that was the cannibals that were dressed up. Most of the rape, if you didn't have August 1st, United States News, in your file, you've lost a great piece of literature. You better get it and file it for testimony in time. It tells you just exactly what happened in the earth. It tells you how the very soldiers on payroll that went to school, that had been trained, they were the Negroes that turned and brought this attack against the white man who had given them nothing but benefits. I want you to know that out of all of this savagery, it just proves one thing. God says, don't you relax the firmness of the law. Don't you let go. Don't you let him rise above you. You keep the mastery. You let the United Nations tie your hand with little reeds. Belgium, economically, by Mystery Babylon, forced to let them have independence. And then Lumumba comes over here to the United States, and he's wined and dined. And he's traveled around. Now, United States News tells you this week that the very Congolese army that raped and pillaged white women are the ones the United Nations is going to turn the government over to as soon as order is restored. You know, there's white men preparing for a vendetta. These white men are those who saw their women ravaged, those that saw everything go up in smoke, and many of them couldn't get out. Now there is a rumor sweeping all of the Congo that these men are going to have a vendetta. They're going to dedicate themselves to wiping out the beast. The beast more deadly than the lion, more deadly than the gorilla, because he hasn't the sense of decency that even these vicious beasts possess. So don't think that there's peace in store. There's no peace in store. Soviet Russia wants the Katawanga and Katanga provinces. She wants both the copper and the diamonds. She's moving in equipment. There will be fighting, continued fighting. And there in Africa, you're going to see again the evidence of this prophecy, which is now fast fulfilling itself, of Ethiopia along with Asia and along with China being gathered for this hour. So, all right, this is the time for men to get strong. This is the time for us to tighten up day line. Now, I'm going to tell you this. We're being threatened with nuclear destruction. Some scientists tell us we're about to be wiped from the earth. Let me tell you something. Did you know that the peacetime use of the atom is more dangerous than the wartime use of it? You say, why is that? Because in 1 month now, the nations of the world, with their atomic reactors generating power for the cities, and the experimental reactors are burning more isotopes and more masses of nuclear substance, turning more ionized elements into the 13 and 14 mile sphere above the earth, than all the nuclear bombs we set off. We turn that loose every month. Now that radioactivity and its milliretrogens, we don't feel it close to us where it affects our bodies and burns our skin, but it builds up that great level at the 13, 14 mile district above the earth. And strangely enough, the scientists that testified in Washington said that the peacetime use of the atom is actually more destructive to human life in the long run than all the weapons. They said, don't stop making weapons because you won't use them except when you need to and it'll soon be over. But that's not going to destroy all life on the earth. No. I'm going to show you something prophetic that relates to this time. We have had, through the peacetime use of the atom and all of the other military uses, an increase in the radioactivity at the field level where all these radioactive ions of material and all of these particles are assembled. The milliretrogens of electronic temperature has gone up 1 degree in the earth. Now that's not heat in Fahrenheit, that's 1 degree in the temperature of radioactivity, milliretrogens of activity. Now, that has in turn caused energy changes that have caused 7 degrees of heat temperature to go up all over the earth this year. That's why this is a hot summer. This is why it's hot everywhere. This is why it's 7 degrees hotter than any place on the face of the earth. All over the world, 7 degrees we have gone up because of the increased radioactive belt in the heavens, and that's being built up every day by peacetime use of the atom, and they're going to build a big reactor for Los Angeles and Pasadena now, bigger than anything that's been built so far, and it's going to make almost as much energy, they say, as the Niagara Falls. All right, let me tell you something. The heat temperatures have never reached this. A letter from Boise, Idaho, that came yesterday from friends who've moved out of the desert and went up there, said, in Boise, the temperature's 112 and 113. Never had anything like that up there. And not only are the forests tinder dry, but there's something happening all over the world. You want to know what that is? As that temperature went up also, the electronic radioactive field feeds back static electricity into anything that will carry it. And every cloud that starts to form becomes so radioactively charged with electricity, and every one of these electrical patterns are whirling, and the clouds are spread out, broken up, can't gather enough moisture for rain, but they're so statically charged with electricity that they ignite almost every promontory they pass over as that charge builds up, and you've had as many as 600 fires a day started by lightning without any rain in the Western Hemisphere this summer in the last few weeks. And you know when they were trying to explain why that we never had in all the history of our life in this continent fire starting in every mountain and starting in every forest from lightning. We have one occasionally, or a storm and a lightning bolt comes down. Maybe the rain puts it out, but this time no rain comes with it. And the scientists and the meteorologists said that the intense increased radioactivity has caused an electrical charge to be built up, and these static carriers of electricity broken up are dropping it out of the atmosphere. All right. What happens? It gets hotter. The earth is scorched. And the book of Revelation says, yes, the sun gets hotter than it's ever been before. It scorches the earth, and some men curse God, and they can't find death. And we see the great heat burning the surface of the earth. You want to know what day you're living in? This is the day. This is happening now. You're watching this thing develop. And I'm going to tell you this, that a few more milliretrogen degrees increase and the heat will be up to 14 and 21 degrees hotter. I don't think you're going to let it go that far. I think God's going to shorten the time for the elect's sake. There won't be anything to eat. There won't be any way to live. But I'm going to tell you something you may not know. That when radioactivity becomes intense, or when the enemy drops the bomb, who do you think will die first? Did you know that radioactivity will kill a Negro 2 millirectrigens of degrees before it will make a dangerous impact on you? They have discovered that the black skins and the pigmentation of the skin of a Negro makes it harder for him to resist radioactivity and in anything like an area of radioactivity he suffered most. Even in the experimental bunkers over in Utah and in Nevada, the men that were close to it, that were Negroes, were almost permanently hospitalized. Let me tell you something. These fellas better leave here. If we're the target area, they're a sure thing to be removed. Someone said that any day they're liable to hit Washington. There wouldn't be very many people left if they hit anywhere near Washington. They say in a few days that the District of Columbia may be voting for a mayor, for the chief of police. You know what he'll be, don't you? If they let those people vote, 75% of them are Negro, and you'll have a Negro mayor in Washington, Negro chief of police in Washington, and when they get all this in the hands of the Negroes, they better move the capital. Or would it be easier to move the population? I only mention this because danger can envelop whole structures of unassimilatable society before it finally destroys you. You're living in one of the most important times in human history, and the best insurance policy you can have is the promise of the Most High God that a thousand can fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, and no harm shall come nigh thee. To be enveloped in the Shekinah glory of God, to know that you're the Son, to claim eternal life, to claim the promise that you're going to survive and that you're going to be immunized with immortal capacities to survive in the midst of this trouble with this northern army, as Joel said, is your promise to claim. And I can assure you that at this moment, that you, the greatest nation in God's kingdom, will still be the great nation of God's kingdom when the last hammer and sickle has been struck. You know, God said we're going to catch every one of these flying weapons of the enemy. They're not even going to come nigh you. You've got some of the most terrific intercepting rockets in the world. They can even intercept most large rockets. But you've got standing by you also whole fleets of heavenly fleets that are going to intervene and turn these very rockets back upon the enemy. You know, last night there flashed one of these great super ships of space across your Southland. It came down from the north, and then it swung around to the eye of an individual. It looked as much bigger than the moon than a dime would look to a grapefruit. So you can figure how big that looked moving through the sky last night. This great green object with its different colored lights veered far out into the north and then came back again. They saw it in Lancaster, and they saw it down here. Highway patrolmen out near Whittier reported they saw it in the sky as this great object flew south, then north, then to the west. This is only one of many objects like that. And they move with maneuver, and somebody's directing them. And they're not meteors. Let me tell you what's standing by. The whole fleets of Michael are standing by to see that not one single weapon of the enemy will destroy the children of his kingdom. Someone says, I can't believe this until I see it. Well, you're just like Thomas then, and you're surely going to see it. Somebody said the other day as they were preaching, woe unto the man that can't see it and doesn't believe. Well, I'm going to tell you that there are a lot of people that don't believe and don't see because they don't know anything. God Almighty is going to say, come here with your finger and touch it. I'm here. Put your finger here. Bring your hand over here to the side. This is the same Christ Messiah. I'm back here. I said I was coming. Now come and see me. He's going to say, you saw the ships, you saw the fleets, you saw the army, and here's all your brethren standing by. Somebody said, where are we going to put all these people while they're here? Well, there's going to be a lot of people that'll be gone. Every plant, Jesus said, every plant that my Father did not plant in the earth is going to be plucked up by its roots. We're going to put it back in the garden where it came from. Suppose I tell you, before God's plan is consummated, there'll not be a Negro in all of Africa? Did you know there wasn't a Negro on the face of the earth until Satan rebelled and they came in here with his fleet? There was other race here. The people that formed the ancient continents of Atlantis and Lemuria never saw a Negro. It wasn't until the days of Lucifer's rebellion and his defeat when his ships were smashed by Michael and they came to earth that the Negro started. And the history of ancient nations of ancient antiquities demonstrate this to be true. So every one of them will be back where they came from. That's to their well-being, to their welfare. Did you know that There's not a Jew that belongs on the face of the earth. Someone says, why is this? Because they're the unassimilatable offspring of Lucifer and fallen angels that sowed their seed among all the peoples of the world. They don't belong here. Going to take every last one of them out and put them in the constellation of Arah, laid out on the edge of your visible platterns of space. So that's a long ways away. You couldn't put them far enough away to satisfy me. Is that Bible? Yes, that's Bible. I'm going to tell you what they're going to do with some of the others. You see where it says they're going to lock some of them up in the pit? Did you know that they call Africa the pit? Did you know that all ancient Hebrew referred to it as the pit? You know, it's a possibility that some of them might have to pump out those jungles. The day's going to come when you're going to see the powers of darkness that are in the earth today not only defeated, but they're going to be put to work under the authority of divine law. In the fullness of time, not too far ahead, all these things will have been consummated. Do you know you're going to see the day when taxation is abolished? That's right. That will be consummated before many years. God Almighty is going to operate His kingdom on an entirely different principle. And instead of scarcity, it's going to be plenty. There isn't going to be poverty in His kingdom. The communists, my friends, and their agents have made more poverty in America. And their influence have affected your way of life until you're robbed of more of your substance. You may say we have more things than we ever had before, but you don't know how long you're going to have them. Let me tell you that under the program of God, the same vision, the same technical capacities would have produced far more than you've ever produced. You could have put the whole world in order with the laws of God.
This talk entitled God's Prophecy Against the Prince of Magog was given by Dr. Swift in August of 1960, prior to John Kennedy's election. The evil forces in control of our nation then are still in control, and they will be in control until this nation returns to God. We are a Christian nation, a nation of destiny, and we will finally awaken and cry to God for deliverance. But how much of evil times will it take before this comes to pass? Until we meet again via the tape ministry, we say goodbye and may God richly bless you.